Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Cindy Stone. So, what is Bakwa, and why did it become important to you to include martial arts and mystical Taoist monks in your novel?
Well, Bakwa is a sister practice to Tai Chi. There are three internal martial arts, and Tai Chi is the most well-known, and then there's Bagua, and then there's another one called Xingyi. And Tai Chi is practiced on a 180-degree straight line, and it's about the expansion and contraction of energy. And Bagua is practiced in a circular form, 360 degrees, round and round and round you go. The thought is that it will attune you to the spiral energy of the universe and the way that the planet, our planet, sort of spirals through, hurtling through the universe at an incredible rate. And it will attune you to that kind of energy, and you can learn how to use that energy and project that energy. And
very briefly, tell us, why are these in, what does that mean, internal?
Oh, internal. So most martial arts use physical force. So if you punched somebody, you would use your muscles and your physical force to punch. And in an internal martial art, it's more about using an internal energy that you drop through the ground and you project out through your hands.
I see.
You're using less physical force, you're using an energetic force.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's kind of magical, actually.
So, your book has been classified as an urban contemporary fantasy. But what do you think? Was it inspired by life? Is it a fantasy or reality, or is it a fable?
I think it's probably a little bit of all of that.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of fantasy in here, but there's a lot that's been inspired by life. My martial arts teacher that I met, he was traveling one day on the beach in Toronto, and I saw him there at dawn, and I was walking my dog, and I started learning this Bagua, which was so compelling to me. Some of the story of the young martial artist here was inspired by his life, which was actually really magical, in going to the Wudong Mountains and learning this incredible martial art and this kind of mystical Taoist lifestyle, which draws a lot on nature and nature's physics. One of the reasons why I thought it was so important to put in my book was there was a lot of werewolves and vampires going on for young people, and when I was a young person, I read amazing books that changed my life and that taught me things and that had heroes in them, and you know, people wanted to be good. And so I thought, this is like real life superheroes. These people are amazing, these martial arts that I've met.
Mm.
I mean, I don't do the martial aspect of the practice. I do it more like a Tai Chi. But these are like real life superheroes. So I wanted to give younger people something to really sink their teeth into that was inspiring and positive.
An alternative to werewolves, you mean.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and zombies. And
all zombies, that
stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Something that was really positive in the world and like a force for good.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for it.
And yet being really exciting and interesting and at the same time, so
right.
That, you know, they want to read it.
So there's a core group of four young people in your book, Avery, Aiden, Blaine, and Raven. Can you tell us a bit about them, and how did you come to write these characters?
Ah, yes. I really love these four characters. They're not the only characters in the book, obviously, but they're four characters that form quite a strong friendship, and that foursome will go through the whole series. And Avery is the main character of the book, and at the core, this is a book about a young woman's empowerment. And she goes from a privileged and disillusioned, depressed young woman to somebody who finds her own internal power and her own sense of self.
But she's the young woman in the beginning of the book.
Yes.
That you read about, right?
That's
still
right.
Still grieving her mother.
That's right.
Right.
And then Blaine started out as just a small character, but as I started writing, you know how it goes, they start to take a life of their own and they start
right.
making their own decisions. He's a quantum physicist. he's not very grounded, you know, he's kind of fun and makes a lot of jokes. And Aiden is a very serious student of the martial arts. And he's so serious, in fact, that he struggles with living a normal life and living the life of a monk and a spiritual life. So he kind of has that conflict between the spiritual and the carnal.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he's very attractive. And, and all the girls love him. And then Raven is a character that also started out with a small part, but her part grew and grew. She's an indigenous woman, and she was inspired by a friend of mine who's an indigenous woman who I've had for many, many years. And Raven and her mother play quite a strong role in the book.
Hmm. Good. Well, you've won several awards already for Scorpion. Are you going to write more fiction?
Yes, absolutely. I am writing the second book in the series right now. And I have a couple of other little mini-series that's based on the story of my great-great-grandfather. Because he lived in India and he went into the Himalayas and learned with the mystics there. And I happened to find his autobiography in a rare bookstore. And oh. I was blown away by what I was reading. It was like, wow. You know, now I know. My sister calls me a woo-woo. And now I know where I get it. Because he was very out there.
That's wonderful. So how about reading us a bit more from Scorpion?
I would love to. Thank you. Chapter 28. If you gaze for long in the abyss also gazes into you. Nietzsche. It had been 7 days since Wao had spoken so sincerely to me. Every day he brought me to the still pond for meditation practice. First he had me sit on a board in the middle of the pond. I didn't know what I was to do, what I was to notice. Then it became clear. My being rippled when Wao on the far side of the pond put his hand gently into the water and the surface moved. When I noticed, Wao was pleased. Next he had me sit on a rock in the pond. When I finally detected Wao rippling the water on my shadow, he was excited. Excellent, Aiden. You noticed the very subtlest of energy shifts. So much of our being is contained inside shadow. You have learned to feel its connection to you. Very good. Now, if only you could notice the inside of your heart. With those words, Wao left me. I had to become brutally honest with myself. By staying here, was I hiding from life and taking an easy way out? Or was leaving here taking the easy way out by breaking a promise that was becoming impossible to keep? My mind churned and turned up nothing. What was I meant to discover? Who I am or who I thought I could be? My gut ached with a slow, dull pain. Not the poison, not the death palm, but my indecision. I waded out of the water and dragged myself back to the inner courtyard. For 7 days I had fasted, continued my lessons with Wao, prayed and practiced Bagua. I hoped that by walking the circle, some clarity would come to mind. Aiden, you can't fast any longer. You didn't have the strength to begin with. Wao slid his arm around my shoulders and directed me to a nearby bench to sit on. I have to sort this out. I was determined to gain back the peace I had experienced when I made my promise. You can't force peace. Your determination is commendable, Aiden. As always, you have an iron will to make anything you set your mind to happen. But this isn't a mind thing. This is a heart thing. Wao took my breath away. Like a key unlocking a heavy bolt, a burden suddenly lifted from me, then almost as suddenly landed back on my shoulders, heavier than before. I felt I had come close to grasping something my mind found unfathomable. I can see you struggling in this decision, Aiden. You don't make a promise lightly, and I respect that. I've asked Old Phoenix if we can use Mirror Pond to bring clarity. Mirror Pond needs a good reason. Mirror Pond used to find the 14th Dalai Lama, and that was a good reason. This is too. Mirror Pond. I couldn't imagine that a mirror pond would help me through this. Perhaps I could find the clarity I was looking for, though. I feared the truth and what it might mean for the rest of my life, and Avery's. I shrugged. I'll try anything. On the morning of my scheduled trip to Mirror Pond, excitement buzzed through me. To be allowed to go for a vision is a great honor. Wao came in to me early in the morning, clothed in a sapphire robe. He carried incense, a burner, and nothing else. I think he wanted to see the vision as almost as much as I did. He believed the answer to my destiny lay inside it, and that because of who I was, I had a greater role that carried more weighty implications than I had ever imagined. Wow was rather generous. I found Avery's accusation of cowardice more fitting for me.
Wow. So there's more than one narrator of the story. Huh?
There's two, yes.
Yeah.
Avery and Aidan.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you very much for reading to us, Cindy.
Thank you for letting me.
And for telling us a little about your other work. So can our listeners buy your books locally as well as online? They are all online, right?
Yes, they're on Amazon and Chapters and Indigo and Barnes & Noble, all the regular outlets. And there's also in Port Hope, they're in Furby House. In Coburg, they're in Let's Talk Books. And in Campbellford, they're in the Corner Bookstore.
Yes. Thank you. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7 FM, Truly Local Radio.